And here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Before You Bet, Aaron, live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. A lot of great content here on the Covers YouTube channel. So a great big show planned for you guys today. John Middlecoff will be by here in a matter of seconds for his weekly chat, talking all the big stories in the NFL and his best bets for week two. Then in the second half of the show, it will be John Mettler ripping through some Major League Baseball, a couple topics in the NBA. Big John show today. So if you guys want to participate in the show, very easy to do so. Hit up the live chat on YouTube, on X. Let us know what you like in week two of the NFL season and on the diamond tonight in Major League Baseball. Okay, no more beating around the bush. Let's get right into the action. Let's go to our guy, the man with one of the best hands in all of sports media, John Middlecoff. John, how are we doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic here. Pumped for week two, coming up a very eventful week one. So let's start with this. I always love asking people this question. So we always get some wacky results in week one. This year was no different. The Bengals and Falcons getting bare. Some players didn't show up. A couple months from now, looking back on week one, what do you think will be viewed as pretty big outliers?
Well, is Cincinnati going to be as bad as they showed in New England? Like, I don't think New England's going to win many games. So if you win, like, I still think like three wins on the table. So if that's the situation, one win in week one, we're going to look back. Wait, they won on the road. I think the Jets, a lot of people are trying to downplay them, but I see some issues. You know, the pass rush is not nearly as good because they have a hole there. Huff went to the Eagles and then they traded for Reddick and he never showed. And their defense from a physical standpoint got shredded, and Aaron's 40 years old and can't scramble around anymore. He still has a great arm and he can throw from the pocket, but he's basically a stronger arm Jared Goff on a way worse team. So I think there's two ways to go. I think week one has a chance to kind of carry over. Now, I'm not acting like they're going to win five games, but I think the hype on them being a Super Bowl contender, I think there's no chance on God's green earth they could win a Super Bowl. I think best case scenario, they're competing for like a 6-7 seed.
Yeah, not a good look for Robert Saleh. I think they needed the defense to carry them in that game. I don't think the expectation shouldn't have been very high for Aaron Rodgers, and I think he was fine, I guess, for his comeback game. But that was a watered-down version of the 49ers offense, and they got absolutely worked. They probably should have scored more points, but they ended up kicking a bunch. So not a good look for Saleh. I mean, they'll have an opportunity in Tennessee here against the Titans. What about the rookies, mainly the quarterbacks, Marvin Harrison Jr.? None of these guys had a good day. Any concerns there, or is it just like, hey, it's week one, let's settle down here?
Well, I think with the three rookie quarterbacks, the NFL is really hard, and preseason's a joke now. So Belichick said it last week, and everyone thought he was ripping Caleb. He was just like, none of these outside-the-pocket throws mean anything to me, because in the regular season, you're going to have to do it, and clearly he couldn't. And then it kind of unraveled on him. Bo Nix also was really rattled. Now, he was on the road, but it did not look good. And I thought Jaden was also terrible. But the difference of Jaden and the other two guys is Jaden can really run, so he was taken off a lot. But I don't really know what that gets you, especially on a really, really bad team. I mean, I a lot of people like Washington. I did not. I don't think they're very good. We'll get into one of my favorite bets this week, which makes me feel icky, but it's just I'm going to bet against teams like Washington and obviously Carolina. But I think with Marvin Harrison, you know, he came, and I think whenever you have a transition from a team, especially one of the powers, right, like Ohio State, how many weeks out of the last 2 years was he playing an equal, like a total of 10-15%, a couple Michigan games, a couple playoff games? Like, it was very, very small. The Rutgers, the Iowas, the Wisconsins, they have no shot. And then he gets to the NFL, where the guy across from him is making $13 million, has two kids, has been to three Pro Bowls, lives in a mansion and drives a Range Rover. Like, this is not the Rutgers corner. So it's, and he doesn't play in the preseason, right? I mean, none of those guys did. at Arizona. So I never understood, like, I like Marvin Harrison a lot. I think he's going to be a really good NFL pro, but I know in fantasy he was like going really high, like he's Larry Fitzgerald in his prime or something. It's like, I'd pump the brakes a little bit. It's going to be a huge, huge transition. Now, his quarterback, unlike Malik Nabers, like Kyler can really play, but the number one thing you're going to do if you're playing Arizona is try to take away Marvin Harrison, right? Because you know that Kyler can get on the ball. With Malik Nabers, it's like, well, Daniel Jones is so terrible. Who really cares? I think I saw some clips. No one cares, but Joe Alt looks pretty good. But, you know, there's no stats for offensive linemen. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, so I'm the king of saying that we need to give these young quarterbacks more time to develop. I probably say it weekly here on the show. Like, a lot of these guys are brought into the league, and they just have no chance whatsoever. Like, the guys that the Jets have drafted highly the past couple of times out. Tua wasn't in a good situation. Trevor Lawrence, his first year in the league, that was not a good spot for him. But I think maybe we've been thrown off by that a little bit. Patrick Mahomes was awesome right off the bat. That was a really good situation for him. Joe Burrow was pretty good. Justin Herbert was pretty good. But the guy, yeah, absolutely. The guy we got to zero in on here, though, is Bryce Young. And my question about him is, he didn't come into a good situation, but has he even given a glimmer of hope here whatsoever? Is it fair to call this guy a bust? I was just looking at his game logs. He's played in 17 games now. He's only thrown for over 200 yards five times. Is it fair to call him a bust at this point?
Yes. Yeah. I hear a lot of people say, like, who could succeed in this situation? It's not his fault. I like Bryce Young at Alabama. Who didn't? He was awesome. But if you just watch, and I did watch that game because I had the Saints. And I just there we talked about a couple weeks ago. I like them to win that division. I think they can make the playoffs. Is obviously the Saints defense is good, but he's making throws like he's not remotely accurate. So whether Bill Walsh was his coach or Canales is his coach, when he's sitting there in the pocket or scrambling and there is a guy open and he airmails him, what are you supposed to do? Now, young players, like young people, it's easy to lose your confidence and question yourself. But it looks terrible. And he does play on the Panthers. So it's like, well, if there's a, well, he doesn't get to play on these other teams. That's the team he's on. And they traded so much for him. I think the question mark is if this unravels like it has his entire career so far, it's short, but how long is he going to get? Like, can he just be the worst player in the NFL again and just be a lock starter next year? Society in the NFL and out of the NFL, we've never had less patience. And because of the NFL has never had more money, their owner with the Panthers has, an incredible amount of cash. Like, I just don't think, and he's proven to not be patient with coaches. So I don't know. I mean, nothing would shock me. It's hard to make predictions with a guy like David Tepper running it, but I think we all agree they're going to be bad. And it's hard to see him having a lot of success. So is it one of those things in the offseason where they sign some bridge quarterback and make him compete? What happens if they get the number one overall pick? You know, do they draft one of the quarterbacks? I think you would have to think about it, right?
Speaking of bad quarterback play, it was on full display in Cleveland. Deshaun Watson, he doesn't have too many fans. I don't think he has too many people in his corner right now. Another lawsuit coming out. Now, we all know the Browns gave up so much to get him. They gave him so much guaranteed money. How screwed are they? Because it doesn't look like this is going to get better anytime soon.
Yeah, I'd say pretty screwed because I don't think there's any excuses you can make for him in that game. Listen, there's one thing to lose. The Rams lost. The Ravens lost. The Packers lost. It's the NFL. It's football. You're going to lose some games. Like, whatever, you tip your hat. You know, we got to figure some things out. It's another thing to look like that. It's like, well, their tackles are gone. Well, we traded three first-round picks, I think a second-round pick, and gave you $230 million to when we're in that situation for you to still have us be competitive because you're a great playmaker. Well, those days are done. He looks slow. Obviously, from a confidence standpoint, he looks awful. No one in the league has worse body language. And then just from a basic football standpoint, and this goes back to the Bryce Young, when he's just in a position to make some a little more difficult throws, they don't even look remotely close. I mean, how many balls did he throw that, like, I don't know if he was throwing it away or not, but on go routes and deep breaking routes that were like going into the stance. It's like I watched football from Thursday till Monday night, and I didn't see any passes consistently. It was bizarre. And that's, you know, hopefully Tom Brady gets his footing. That was a prime time for Brady to be like, what is going on? This is great. And he just kind of, it's on the unit. Like, I don't think it is. No unit can play when their quarterback is that atrocious. And then you watch Dak, who gets basically the same contract, right? $230 million. It's a little bit different because it's not true all guaranteed like his, but they get the same amount of guaranteed money. And Dax, he had a rookie left tackle going against Myles Garrett, the defensive player of the year, and looked completely calm. And you're going to have some bad passes. It's football, but for the most part, he looked like Joe Montana compared to Deshaun Watson.
Speaking of Tom Brady, one of the things I was wondering about him is, you know, is he going to criticize the star players? A lot of the color commentator guys don't. I think Troy Aikman is pretty fair, and he'll call it out when, you know, the Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allens of the world make a bad play. But, you know, a lot of people are very critical of Tom Brady's debut. It's not easy to do, though. You're pretty much improvising up there for 3.5 hours. But how do you think he did? I'm guessing not great, but the common opinion is he didn't do good, but by week 8, he's going to be fantastic. You think that's fair?
I think if Tom just would have taken the job and just they would have given him the number one job, you know, like Tony Romo, but he would have made a couple $1 million or whatever, and his contract wouldn't have been a big deal. I don't think it would have been as crazy critical. I mean, they gave him like $400 million. And it's like, okay, you're going to give this guy $400 million, which I'm pro money and business. Like, I root for people to succeed here. But then we're going to watch it a little bit differently. And he was clearly kind of a fish out of water, which is understandable because he'd never done it before. But I think you're watching going, well, what's going to be his go-to move, right? Because he wasn't super confident, even though obviously he knows football. Like, he tried to get nerdy, but then he'd kind of pull back. He's definitely not going to be critical, which sucks because, like, it's interesting to hear what he's actually thinking. I mean, part of just being critical is every human being is. It's just actually being authentic and talking like you normally would. But I don't expect that. And then I do think he struggles because he's become so corporate. He's clearly a very relatable human in the sense of like his teammates loved him, his coaches love him, anyone that meets him likes him. But I don't know how he can kind of figure out. Maybe it's just going to take time. But they do have the Super Bowl this year. It's like maybe he's better in 3 years, but I don't think he really has. Like, what if he can't get better this year? What if he's just uncomfortable? It's hard. I mean, it's very, very difficult. I'm not acting like it's an easy job. Being a podcast host, as much you get more than you have as much time as you want. He gets little increments. But when you watch Collinsworth or Aikman last night, they sound like guys that have been doing it for decades, really good, very comfortable in their own skin. Tom Brady's just not very comfortable, which, again, understandable, but also a problem because he's calling one of the biggest games every week.
Yeah, a lot of dead air, which was one of the issues there on Sunday. So we'll see if old Tommy makes an improvement here this week. Okay, so that was the week that was. Let's get into the week that is. Not a whole lot of sexy games really here on the week two board. Some good looking betting opportunities, but I want to get your opinion before we get into the best bets. I think the best game of the week is probably on Thursday night in Miami. The Buffalo Bills in town, a tight spread favoring the Dolphins. One of the highest totals in the week at around 50 points. So I told you I am a Dolphins fan. I am a loyal fan. I like to think I'm a realistic fan. It is not easy. It is an absolute roller coaster ride with this team. They tend not to show up in these big spotlight games, you know, at the end of the season, even in prime time, they get a little tight too. And Mike McDaniel with the play calling and that roller coaster ride full display in week one, they must've been losing for around 90% of that game. And then the Jags gave it to them a little bit, but I do think Miami did rise to the occasion a little bit here as well. So it was a gritty, ugly win, something they don't typically do. And I think that's a good way for them to start their season because they typically don't win that type of game. Now, that said, they have another big monkey to get off their back, and that's beating a good team. And it's a good team that often beats them, the Buffalo Bills, who have had their number. So they're a small favorite in this game. If Miami plays well and wins, do we have to start taking them more seriously, or is it too early to do that?
Yeah, no, because this happened last year and then it all unraveled. So I can't until they win big games in December in inclement weather, where more than likely, if they're not the number one seed, they're inevitably going to have to play. I'm with you. That was a good win because that was they looked terrible early on. If that's the Bills or the Chiefs or the Ravens or, you know, non-Jags, and they had played like that, like they're just going to lose. But Tyreek proved in that game he's one of the great equalizers. He takes a pass that most receivers just get tackled for 25-yard gain, 80 yards, and then their defense made a play. But my logic on gambling this game is just anytime the Bills are an underdog against Miami, I'm hammering it. And I'm going to take a money line. Now, it's not like I feel great. I mean, it's not the Bills, you know, were kind of a roller coaster as well as Miami. I'm taking the Bills. I don't feel great about it. I will say, though, the short week early on, it feels more like an actual normal game. You know, as you go on, the Thursday game, it's like, God, you got a million injuries, the attrition of the season. But week two, Thursday night game, while it's still tough on the teams, it's impossible for it to be easier. Like, this is the easiest Thursday night game to play, even though both teams had to play in kind of knockdown, drag out games. Like, their games were pretty intense. But I'm taking the Bills. Confidence level is probably 50-50 here, but I'm just, the logic is simple. Like, kind of owned them. Remember, was it 2 years ago when the Bills like thoroughly outplayed them, outgained them, and that crazy game where they had a bunch of fumbles and Miami won? It was like a statistical outlier in the history of the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Bills possessed the ball for 42 minutes or something like that. And so here's what I'll say as a Dolphins fan. Last season, they were a major victim of the letdown spot. A couple of their biggest wins, they scored 70 points against the Broncos in week three. Everyone's going nuts about the Dolphins. They go to Buffalo and get the shit kicked out of them the next game. Then they have the Battle of the Frauds, them versus the Dallas Cowboys. I think it was on Christmas Eve, maybe. They answered some doubters. Tua drives them down the field, game-winning field goal. So they get very high on themselves. Then that next game, after beating the Cowboys, they get the shit kicked out of them by the Baltimore Ravens. So that's another thing that they kind of have to get
off. What happened last year, Buffalo in Miami?
In the week 18?
Oh, yeah. That was
week 18. Game. But okay, I will say...
They played twice down the stretch of the season. Yeah. So this is an early... You know, the league has been pushing those big games, which clearly the division kind of more than likely through Buffalo, but Miami is the other contender. They push these games back. Kind of, this is a huge game because you look back, one team wins 12, the other wins 11, one wins 11, one wins 10. This could be the difference. And that's just the way the schedule played out.
Yeah, a lot of shootouts between these teams lately. Three of the last four have cleared 60 combined points. So I think we could be in for an exciting one here on Thursday.
Sometimes, though, Thursday night games, it's like, should you short that on a Thursday night game? And maybe it's like, you know, 13-10 at half, one of those.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you don't get the best version of a team on Thursday night. Absolutely. No doubt about that. Okay, let's get into your best bets here. Suddenly, one of the sexier looking games here in week two, we'll call them your New Orleans Saints. You were very high about them coming into the season. They were on fire there in week one. They beat the living shit right out of the Panthers. They go down to Dallas. Dallas had it kind of easy too, but they did what they were supposed to do. They picked up a win. Saints, a 6.5-point underdog in this game, and you like them to cover that number.
I just think that's a lot of points. I mean, one thing was very evident week one. Unlike college, where you have these enormous point spreads and these massive swings, the NFL, even the biggest lines were 4.5, 5, 6.5. I mean, we're not talking 15 points here. You give 6.5 points. It's not even as much about Carolina, right? But that game, this team really came into the season ready to roll. I've said, we know they have a good defense. And the reason I liked them a lot this year is because offense, they get Kubiak, who basically is a Shanahan family member. So that offense is very quarterback friendly. And what happened? Derek looked very comfortable. They have a lot of weapons. Like, they have a good receiving corps. They have the highest paid running back room in the league. Ferguson's banged up, the tight end for Dallas. So I think Dallas is good. I picked Dallas to win the division.
And I don't think this is also an indoor team, very comfortable in that environment. I know Dallas plays well at home, but that seems like does that seem like a lot of points to you? Like, I mean, for a team that just won by 37 points and who's pretty good, they went 9-8 last year. It's not like they were a 4-win team.
Well, it's interesting. Dallas goes from being a 2.5-point underdog on the road in Cleveland. Now, I know it's a different situation being at home, and they are typically a lot better on their home field, but I did not expect the number to be that high, so I'll have to take a close look at that one.
What do you think the right number is? Probably 3.5, 4?
3.5. Get outside of a field goal. Get outside of the key number.
You're getting an extra field goal if you look at it that way.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, everyone was very down on Dallas coming into the season. Then based on the result of that one win, did that change the perspective very much?
Which I think is crazy. Like, I'm going to like betting on Dallas in spots, not necessarily this week, but Zimmer is anyone that watched the Vikings during his tenure. Like, they were really good on defense. Like, he is a really good defensive coordinator. And the Cowboys draft well. So it's like they just drafted left tackle late in the first round. And what happens? Immediate starter. By the middle of the season, like, that guy's going to be good. He'll probably be their starter for a decade. Like, they draft. So all of a sudden you get, who's this guy just making this sweet tackle? And then Brady will be like, oh, Zimmer told us he loves him. That's what they do. They have sexy, sexy stars, like four or five of them at the top. But they got a lot of random guys that you learn about through the season. And if you want to give the credit to Jerry, whoever he's listened to in the draft room, but they draft really well. And then they develop.
Yeah. Like I like to say about the Dallas Cowboys, they are a great regular season team. And that is about it, unfortunately, until proven otherwise, right? But yeah, they just rip right through the regular season. So yeah, we'll see how they do here on Sunday. Next up, this looked like a sexier matchup when the schedule first came out. Not so much anymore. We have the Colts as a 3.5-point favorite in Green Bay. The Colts, their defense couldn't really get off the field on Sunday, but they're getting a great break here. No Jordan Love, and you expect the Colts to bounce back here in week 2.
Yeah, I mean, Brett Favre's not walking through that door. I mean, that Jordan Love injury, I guess they did kind of circumvent disaster, that he didn't tear an ACL or anything that's, you know, short. But it could be rough sledding. It could be a big-time problem over the next couple weeks. And we see this happen in this spot. And it's not. This is less about the Colts and more just about they're kind of screwed. And a lot of teams would be. This is not no fault of anyone's own. Little weird they trade for Malik Willis, who I'm not quite sure is an NFL quarterback. So if who knows? I mean, we'll see how this week plays out, who they end up starting. But if he's starting on Sunday, would it shock you if you look up and it's 40-10? You know, it's just be one of the, maybe the Colts can't score that many points. I mean, they hit a couple bombs in Houston, but let's say it's, you know, 28-6, you know, just something like it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur has a fantastic track record as an underdog, but the quarterback situation definitely in question for this one. Okay, last but not least, one of the uglier games that you'll
I feel icky about this. Here. I feel awful.
But I'm interested in hearing your logic because I kind of like to pick two, and I'm probably going to back this team a different way. But the New York Giants, just embarrassing there in week 1 on their home field. But you could say the Commanders' defense was god-awful as well, and they stunk on both sides of the football. But we have the Giants as a +2.5-point dog in Washington against the Commanders, and you like the Giants. Tell us why.
My logic is simple. I think both these two teams stink. So if you give me two teams that aren't any good, I'm going to take the team getting points, especially when you factor in divisional opponents. It's one thing, you know, like uncommon opponents, random game. It could be a little bit more. You don't know what's coming. Like these players, obviously Washington's had turnover, but still, like they're used to seeing them. They're not uncomfortable playing in that venue. And I thought Jaden, I mean, he can run, but I think it's going to be tough sledding early on. So I don't like either one of these teams. I would also expect the Giants just to look better. Like Washington was scoring some points. Like they were kind of moving the ball with him running around, but defensively they're terrible. He's got to run around because their offensive line's terrible. You know, the Giants have invested a lot into that defensive line. So I'm just hoping that they can get after Jaden a little bit. And again, very icky. It's not like I'm proud of this, but I just think this has to be an auto
when two bad teams play each other, you just got to take the team. I'm going to hammer a money line because I think that's the logic you go. You just take the crappier team, getting the points.
Yeah, I understand the logic. I like the idea of taking the Giants on a teaser all the way up to +8.5. But I already bet this over 20.5 points on the Giants team total. So this is a big fade of the Commanders defense, obviously. They've given up. I know Dan Quinn's there and the tide might turn on their defense. It doesn't look like that's going to be anytime soon. But going back to last season, they've now allowed 27 or more points in 9 straight games. And maybe a pattern that carries over from last season.
The roster's not any good. They don't have good players.
Yeah, you need the players, right? It doesn't matter how good the coach – well, good coaching is obviously going to help. But so Giants week one last season, they get the shit kicked out of them by Dallas on their home field week one. They lose 40-0. The offense comes out the next week, and they scored 31 points in Arizona. So I do think there is an ability for them to bounce good back call. Here a little bit, especially against a bad defense here. So, yeah, I don't think my eyes will be glued too closely to that game, but we will be keeping an eye on it. It will be
before I get out of here. One other intriguing game I think is the Titans thoroughly outplayed the Bears. Will Levis just had two moments that were just, I mean, abysmal. And obviously they got a punt blocked. They're at home against the Jets, who are kind of reeling, long flight. I looked this morning, it was like +4. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a huge believer in this Jets team, but I think everyone's just going to expect the Jets to kill them. I would pump the brakes on that. That's just an intriguing number that I'm going to monitor throughout the week. We'll see if I'm feeling frisky by the weekend.
Yeah, that's an ugly one. You got to plug your nose and take, but two interesting stats here for you. So this is the biggest underdog, the Jets, or biggest favorite, the Jets have been on the road since November 22nd, 2015 in Houston. TJ Yates threw 2 touchdown passes for the Texans in that game. And also with their loss yesterday and non-cover, the Jets are 3-15 against the spread in their last 18 games played in the month of September. So they get off to awful starts. A lot of that is under Robert Saleh, too, who I think would make a very good defensive coordinator for a team next season. Maybe we'll see how that shakes out. But they are not off to a good start. But, John, we will leave it at that. We thank you for joining us here. Best of luck with your bets, and we're pumped to talk to you again next week.
Talk to you soon.
All right, from one John to another, John Middlecoff. Always a great conversation with that guy. Let's go to our in-house John. John Mettler, Johnny Metz, the Magic Ass Man, kind of workshopping some different nicknames here. How we doing, John?
Good. You actually, my nickname in like university high school was J Metz. That was my nickname. You call me Johnny
Metz.
That was the nickname I had back in the day. But I found someone actually sent me a hat that said "Ass Man" across the front with like the license plate. I gotta order it because that's hilarious.
Yeah, J Mads a little more family friendly than the Magic Ass Man. I don't want to be throwing that one around the in-laws too much. Okay, so some Major League Baseball to get into here, and then we're gonna kind of trickle in a little NBA. I think I saw today opening night for the NBA, 41 days away, but we're going to have a ton of NBA features coverage for you guys. Not a whole lot right off the bat, but just a little bit. Then we'll start to ramp things up here when training camps open towards the end of the month. Okay, let's get into some baseball. I went 2-1 yesterday. Let's look to have another winning night. I have 3 picks, 3 pitcher props. John has 3 home run props, I think, that he's going to share with us today. I'll get us started. Let's rip these off. Let's start things off in Toronto, the Blue Jays playing host to the Mets. Bowden Francis on the bump here for the Jays. How about this guy? An absolute star out of nowhere. We're going to go over 17.5 outs, -125. So this number, up against this number, that's been light work for Francis. He's cleared this in 5 straight starts with fewer than 90 pitches 3 times in this span. Getting in and out of there fairly quickly. And it's no fluke. He's been one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball over the last month, a 1.29 ERA, allowing a lot of hard contact. And he's taking on a Mets team that is struggling quite a bit right now versus right-handed pitching. 29th in OPS over the last week versus righties with a very high strikeout percentage. So we'll take Francis to keep rolling here in Toronto. Next up, let's go to Yankee Stadium. Good looking matchup here with the Royals in town. Luis Gil over 15 and a half outs. This one also coming in at minus 125. A little bit surprised here by this number. I think it looks like a decent bargain. I fully did expect this to be set at 17 and a half with him pitching here at home. So he made his return. He had a short stint on the DL. He looked pretty damn good against the Cubs in his return to action. Six innings of work, seven strikeouts, just one hit allowed in those six innings of work there against the Cubbies. And the Royals, hey, man, they're really cooling off offensively, especially against right-handed pitching. Kind of surprising to see 29th in OPS versus righties over the last 2 weeks. They got to heat up here with the playoffs right around the corner. Hopefully not starting tonight against Heal and the Yankees. And let's wrap things up with our favorite pitcher around here at Before You Bet. Jingles gave out a bet to back this guy last time out. Jack Kochanowicz. How's the pronunciation on that? Jack Kochanowicz. I think pretty good. We're going to go over 16 and a half outs for him as well. Minus 130 on this one. So what am I missing here? 16 and a half outs. He's cleared this number quite easily in five straight games, 85 pitches or fewer in three of those names. And Kochanowicz is what someone's saying there in the live chat. I'm kind of close, so he might become a household name here pretty soon. He's pretty good. Young guy here going for the Angels. He has a 2.84 ERA in his last five starts. Not great competition in those games, but here's the thing. The Dinky Twinkies, not great competition right now either. 27th in OPS versus righties over the last 2 weeks. So maybe this guy give the Angels. When's the last time the Angels had a good young player come up out of their system, not named Mike Trout? Anthony Rendon, right back on the DL for them. One of the worst signings of the last decade, the Angels. Absolute disgrace. But maybe Kochanowicz can... be a bit of a diamond in the rough for them. Okay, Johnny, no graphics made up for these, but you hit the bet button on a couple of home run props here for tonight. What are you betting on?
Yeah, I actually went into the home run props. I was looking for at the Tigers there. I was actually looking at Parker Meadows. That's what I wasn't necessarily going to bet on home run props today, but the wind was blowing in at Comerica Park, so I decided to stay away. But then I saw on the like covers MLB weather thing that in San Francisco, the wind is blowing out center field, 21 miles an hour. I know that ballpark has some like issues where you gotta get the ball to like a certain height before the wind even helps you. But then I started looking at the prices and I decided to roll with three home run props. They're on the picks page. I went with Michael Conforto. So we actually used him yesterday and he struck out all four at bats. Just feels like that's someone who will probably homer today after doing that yesterday. He was plus 750. Then I went with William Contreras and Rhys Hoskins and they're both facing Blake Snell. Again, not necessarily the best, like not a pitcher you necessarily want to go against for a home run prop, but they're plus 800 and I think plus 680. So those are both like, it's obviously all relative and stuff. I just felt like it was kind of, the prices were a little bit off market and with the wind, and those are two guys who crush lefties and they're historically, and even like William Contreras this year still does. So I just decided to roll with them there at Oracle Park. All three games, all three props are from the same game.
Excuse me as I just look up some updated lines there over at BetMGM. Okay, so about 1,700 live viewers watching right now. A very active live chat today. We thank you guys for tuning in for the show. Hit up that chat. Let us know. What are you betting week two in the NFL? Anything week three? College football. Big college football show tomorrow, by the way. And don't forget about the action on the diamond as well. But like I said, we're going to be trickling in a little bit of NBA talk here every Wednesday as we start to ramp up towards that season taking off. And, you know, probably not a whole lot of people looking to get down on some NBA futures bets right now. But if you're going to bet them at some point, you might as well bet them early. You're going to get the best of the number in a lot of cases here, potentially with the two bets here that John Mettler is about to give out. Let's get into these, John.
Yeah, so the first one is, actually, I'll just highlight quickly, you're talking about get to it early. Last year, about this time, Tyrese Maxey was 60-1 to win Most Improved. Then the James Harden news leaked and he was on the trade block. That fell all the way to like 10-12-1. He ultimately won the award. So that was one of those, if like you weren't looking at it before a lot of people were looking at it, you could have got a massive price. So that just kind of plays in what you're saying there. But the first one here is Jalen Johnson, 20 plus points per game. So his scoring average, 20 plus points, plus 850. The big one here is like, so they have a bunch of like player props posted like for futures that you can go look at for the NBA right now. You haven't seen too much talk about them. Jalen Johnson, you know, he's playing for the Atlanta Hawks. The big one is Dejounte Murray was traded to New Orleans Pelicans. And that's like a huge usage piece from the Hawks moving to the Pelicans. And you look at Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson was incredibly impressive last year. He's someone I actually bet on to win most improved last year. I thought he had a chance. He did get injured, miss some games. You have to play 41 games for this to be live. That's not only half a season. That's not a lot of games here. But you're looking at someone who, you know, he jumped his scoring average last year from 5.6 to 16 points per game. That's a lot. That tells me there's probably more room to grow. I just think, you know, if you're Quinn Snyder this offseason, last year you weren't game planning for him at all to really be a part of the offense. They didn't expect that from Jalen Johnson. Now, you know, Dejounte Murray moves out. You're just not really trying to make that Trae Young, Dejounte Murray backcourt work anymore. He's one of your featured pieces. Like, he is probably the best, like, asset on that team. And they're going to want to make him look good. And he's young and he's only improving. I think this is big opportunity. There's also, like, the out that, like, what if they do move on from Trae Young and, like, maybe Bogdanovich? There's not much scoring in this lineup. And then you could get those, like, final 2 months of, like, he is by far the featured player. So, like, 20-plus points and plus 850. Plus 850 is a big number. I think it's very, very – I think it's obviously way more probable than that's being priced.
Yeah, the Atlanta Hawks, I think that's a team that's got to kind of tear it down here. The worst place to be in the NBA is in the middle. You either want to be at the bottom where you're, you know, competing for a lottery pick, a high lottery pick, or, you know, in the mix here, pretty good for the playoffs, not competing for a play-in spot like the Hawks every year. Give me a break. Okay, next up, one more here, Tyus Jones, Phoenix Suns, right?
Yeah, so Tyus Jones. So this is Tyus Jones to average 6+ assists per game, plus 260. Again, I'm pretty surprised with what I'm seeing here as like an opening price. So you look at last year with the Washington Wizards, he averaged 7.3 assists per game. Then you go the year before, he was the backup with the Grizzlies. But when he started, he was he was excellent when he was starting for them. He averaged 8.1. We're only asking for 6 year. I think why it's being priced like this is you think he moves into the Suns lineup and his usage decreases because you have Bradley Beal, you have Devin Booker, you have Kevin Durant. Well, the thing is he signed a minimum contract with him and they didn't convince him to sign a minimum contract because they're not going to use him. And even when you look at like his stats with the Wizards last year, so he averaged 7.3 assists per game. He only did that in 29 minutes. That's not a lot of minutes, right? Like it's not like he was playing like 36 minutes a game for the Wizards. That's what he averaged. And it's only 6 assists. The one thing I do really like about this is the Phoenix Suns really needed a table setter. That was like an emphasis. They needed that. He's a pass first guy and he's going to come in and he's dishing out potential assists to guys who can score, guys who can convert potential assists. So even if like your usage is down and maybe your minutes are only in the 30, you're passing to Devin Booker, you're passing to Kevin Durant. You're playing with guys like Royce O'Neal, Grayson Allen, Yusuf Nurkic. They're looking to be set up for shots. I think the six, I'm super surprised this is sitting at plus money for 6+. I would more expect like a 7+, 8+. So I hit that button on that one as well.
One last NBA question here, and you guys in the live chat, you guys can weigh in on this as well. Gun to your head, to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals, are you taking the Celtics or the Field?
I'll go Field. Celtics are very good. They have weird offseason, I would say, from like all the like their player relationships, Jason Tatum sitting on the bench, Jaylen Brown not being invited, some weird things. Porzingis is also out for, 2-3 months to start the year there. I really like the Knicks. I think the Knicks have kind of built a roster that matches them. You know, the 76ers add Paul George. You still have Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid. There's a lot more. They got to run through the Eastern Conference with, not the team I bet. Honestly, it's the Knicks. I think the Knicks are probably the next team that, like, really scares you because you take OG Anunoby and you take Mikal Bridges and you can put them on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And now you've you have really good wing defenders suffocating there. That lineup is built for the Celtics. So I think the Knicks are way up there as well.
Yeah. The Knicks have grit, baby. Everyone remembers when I jumped on the Knicks bandwagon there last year. Well, guess what? I'm right back on it. Damn it. Bobby Newport weighing in. He likes the Field there in the Eastern Conference as well. Yeah, the Celtics, they had a very easy path. And we've discussed this. You know, it's not their fault that the other teams, their best players, kept getting injured. But they did have a very easy path. Should be a little bit more difficult for them here next time around. I don't trust Joel Embiid in a big spot. Not at all. Paul George has been a little shaky in a big spot there, too. Maybe they can overcome that, though. That's something we've been talking about with some of these NFL quarterbacks. I like the Knicks, man. They're so tough. I think the Bucks, Giannis is awesome, but they're a little old, aren't they? I mean, Dame, that really backfired badly on them, especially with Holiday going to the Celtics. Chris Middleton, I don't think he's going to get better. He's probably peaked already. The Heat, I think that window might be closed, man. Jimmy Butler, you know, can you play in 60 games in the regular season here, maybe, Jimmy? So, I don't know. Yeah, give us Knicks Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, seven games. That would be absolutely incredible. Mike M. in the live chat saying Magic. Yeah, it could be. Hey, the Magic might be ahead of schedule. I think the Magic were a little ahead of schedule there last year, so... Yeah, NBA 41 days away. We're going to be all over it, though. Like I said, we're going to trickle in a little NBA here every Wednesday. And then John's going to be giving out his best bets Monday through Friday on the show once the season gets going. Okay, little recap here. My best bets for Major League Baseball, Francis over 17.5 outs, Luis Gil over 15.5 outs, and Kohanowitz of the Angels. I might have just butchered it. I think I'm getting close on that. We're going to go over 16.5 outs there. And John, these futures bets that you gave out, if you want to recap them really quickly.
Yeah, Jalen Johnson from the Atlanta Hawks to average 20 plus points per game plus 850, and Tyus Jones now with the Phoenix Suns to average 6 plus assists per game plus 260. I will hit you with one question because he was on the board and I kind of noticed his price when I was going through. LeBron James to average 25 plus points per game was plus 115. I was surprised to see a plus. And the last time he didn't average 25 points per game was his rookie year.
Oh, that's a really good bet. Like, you don't even have to factor in really if he gets injured or anything into that equation, right? So I don't know. Maybe he plays a few less minutes as he's getting quite older. You got to give those minutes to Bronny, maybe. I doubt that. We probably won't see him very much. But yeah, the NBA, you know, it seemed like just yesterday we were talking NBA Finals, but it's creeping up on us here. So we're very busy right now. We're about to get busier, though, but very fun time of year to be a sports fan and a sports bettor. And there's no better place on the internet to be consuming your sports betting content than right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Work that in pretty good. If you are not subscribed to the channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button right down there. A lot coming up here on the channel as we get going towards week two of the NFL, week three college football. There's a big UFC event this weekend. We're going to be recording our best bets video for that here this afternoon. And we have a great big show coming up tomorrow. Big college football show tomorrow. Jake Butt's going to be by with some of his best bets and analysis on the top storylines in both college and the NFL. And a pretty big Thursday night football game tomorrow. My Miami Dolphins, do I think they're going to win against the Bills on Thursday night? No, I do not, because I'm a smart fan. I'm a realistic fan. I would love to see them win. I'll be cheering for them to win, but it's a movie we've seen before. It will make my week if they can pull off the win. Maybe they're due. We shall see. John, thank you very much for joining today. John will be back with us on the show next Tuesday and Wednesday. He's going to be with us every single day once the NBA season gets going, but best of luck with your bets to everyone watching. We appreciate you guys tuning in, and we will see you guys again tomorrow.